This is Digital Story Podcast number 877, January 10th, 2023. Today's theme is film photography really making a comeback? I'm Derek Story. We keep seeing the headlines, but do we know what they really mean? And if indeed analog photography is making a comeback, how does that play out in the overall world of imaging? Thanks to the film camera shop that I run on Etsy, I'm in frequent contact with those who fancy a fresh roll of Kodak Tri-X. And here's my take on the state of analog photography. I hope you enjoy the show. So I think really a better way to frame this conversation is that analog cameras themselves have definitely become more in demand over the last couple of years. And I'm basing this on two things, what I call factual anecdotal information, right? One is when I buy film cameras on eBay and other places for parts, the price has gone up. Even for the things that, you know, aren't fully functional, the prices have gone up, I would say, at least 50% over the last couple of years. And it feels like a bit more than that, but I think it's really about 50% or so. And the cameras that are selling that are functional have definitely gone up at least 50% and sometimes more. So I'm just sort of seeing that it costs me more to get parts, it costs me more to get cameras to fix than it did, you know, a few years ago. And I really think that the demand has increased. It really has. More people are interested in these things. I mean, when I first got into this, you know, coming back to film, there was a lot of stuff where people just found a camera, you know, out in the garage, and they go, oh my gosh, this is a film camera. This can't be worth anything. I'll just put it up on eBay for $10 or $20 and just move it along. You don't see very often anymore. Almost everyone is far more savvy than that about film cameras, and that they have a bit more value, especially if they're working. So what is it that has, you know, kind of led to this? And, you know, does it mean that film photography is really making a comeback? Let's take a look at, I think, some of the factors that are involved here. You know, first of all, outside of the top-end models like from Leica, and I think Nikon still has top-of-the-line flagship F film camera, and the Leica is $5,000 camera, no one is making quality 35mm film cameras right now. I mean, there's a lot of little things that, you know, if you go to B&H and you search on film cameras, you're going to see a lot of stuff for $49. Pieces of plastic with a fixed plastic lenses, you know, that kind of thing. You can put a roll of film in them and you can take pictures, but that's not really the photography experience that a lot of artists are looking for. So there just aren't, you know, a lot of quality film cameras available right now other than, you know, what is on the used market. And when those are gone, they're gone, right? Because they're not being made anymore. Now, last week I talked about Pentax possibly putting film cameras in production again, but there are many things that have to happen before we actually have those available. And we'll see if they get to that point or not. They may get halfway into this and just go, you know, it's just not worth it. So we'll see what happens. So just like oil, right? Oil is a finite resource. And so it has a value. And when it's gone, it's going to be gone. And same thing with a lot of these great film cameras from Canon and Pentax and Nikon, you know, that a lot of folks just really admire and they want to have them in their hands. Another thing that's going on is that we're seeing a pushback to the perfection that comes with digital imaging. I mean, the cameras that are being released now, their goal is to produce the most outstanding, amazing image possible, right? And with the tools that we have in the digital imaging pipeline, there's some really great stuff that's coming out of our cameras right now. And that is fantastic, right? We love that. We absolutely love that. However, some creatives, they're looking to film to create something different than that, an artistic, imperfect look. And that's why I think a lot of folks are turning to the older film cameras. And then also another group, another segment that has grown lately, are folks going back to early digital cameras to kind of get this imperfect look. You can take a perfectly great digital image and make it look imperfect. It's a little bit like taking a brand new pair of Levi jeans and then turning them into stonewashed jeans. You can do it, but it's just not the same as wearing those jeans for 5 years or putting a roll of film in a SLR. You can go backwards. It feels like it's a lot more work than just getting a film camera or sometimes even an old digital camera to begin with. So it's that perfection of digital imaging that we're seeing a little bit of pushback from a segment of our photography audience. Number three, even though film is expensive now, it has gone up in price. There's probably the widest variety of options that I have seen in a long, long time. And there's some truly interesting stuff out there, and we're seeing new stuff all the time. Now, sometimes these new options, they've taken movie film, 35mm movie film, and spun them into cassettes. Sometimes they're finding old stock. Sometimes they're formulating something new. There's just all sorts of things going on. But the bottom line is, if you're someone that's interested in a different look from what you get out of your, you know, Sony A camera, then you have a lot of different options. And these looks are very hard to emulate, reverse engineer from a standard digital image. You can do it, but, you know, kind of a lot of work. And it misses the unpredictability of a film version of that shot. So I think even though film is expensive, there's a lot of variety in the world of film right now, and a lot of it is super interesting. Fourth, and this one might surprise you, but actually film photography is very easy. And if you're not a computer person, if you're not a software person, if you're not a person, you know, wants to build a backup system, then film photography has a lot of allure because you focus at capture on getting the shot that you want. But after you finish that roll of 36, basically these days, you put it in an envelope, send it to a finishing lab, maybe with some instructions, and they develop the film, they make the prints for you, and they send everything back ready to go. And they'll also scan it for you too. In fact, sometimes that is part of the process. So you don't even have to worry about that. You know, it's just done. And so then your image, you can share on social if you want, because you've got the scanned version that they uploaded to your corner of the internet, you know, as a paying customer. And you have the prints ready to go. So it's just very easy. And if you don't want to fool around with computers and software and backup systems and all that stuff, there is a real attraction to film photography and the art that you can produce fairly easily, right? You just focus on the capture and the film that you put in there, and then you let someone else take care of the rest of it. And finally, film photography is cool. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, most folks won't give you a second look if you say that you take pictures. I take pictures, and they go, okay, great. Good for you. So does every other person in this room, right? But if you say that you like to shoot film, suddenly you start getting some questions, and you know, even if it's why and what are you using to shoot film with, but there's an interest there that doesn't happen with just regular digital photography, all right? So, you know, those are like five things that are, I think, have a lot to do where film photography is right now. You know, it's interesting as I think about this, film photography really is a part of our cultural DNA. And if you go to any used bookstore and dig around in the old magazine section, you know, when you flip through the pages of Life or Time, it's really like looking back through your artistic ancestry. And the fact that we can create pictures like that today, it almost has like a time machine feel to it. So if you're in Life magazine and you're looking at some of the shots from 1954, you can use that film, right? Probably it's Tri-X or Plus X or something like that. You can use that film today, put it in a camera and shoot it however that, you know, photographer shot it. And you can create that same image, that same look today. And so that does feel, you know, very like Back to the Future kind of thing going to it. Now, you know, the very first article that I wrote for Medium was Why Film Photography Won't Go Away. And I was surprised because for a first effort on a new platform, it was a hit. And usually it's a lot of work to get attention, especially with writing. And this thing just took off. You know, so I'm going, wow, the very first article I wrote for Medium took off and did great. And I'm going, okay, is this just like, is this going to happen again? Or, you know, what is this exactly? I was kind of looking over my shoulder. But it wasn't my writing that was grabbing the spotlight there. It was the subject, film photography. People are interested in it. And even if they never intend to shoot a single frame of Kodakolor 200, there's a fascination with it. There's a curiosity. I don't really think there's a film photography resurgence. It just never went away. It's the fact that it's still here that seems to impress many headline writers. It's like, okay, let's take the Pentax K1000, the classic SLR film camera that many people used as their first film camera. It should have been buried with 8-track tapes and shag carpet, honestly, but it's one of the most popular analog cameras today, along with its audio brotherhood, Vinyl Records, right? Which are also making a comeback. Well, again, it never went away. You know, you don't have to be popular to be good. You just have to be good. And film photography is indeed very good stuff. It's not making a comeback. It was never gone. New eco-friendly lab lets you pick which photos you want to print from a roll. And this is an article on petapixel.com, and I have a link in the show notes. I think this is brilliant. Let me read you a little bit about it. The company says that it realized that photographers are not likely going to want prints of every photo on a roll of film, which means that every time a photographer asks for prints to be mailed along with developed negatives, a large number of those prints will be discarded. Analog Wonderland estimates between 50% and 80%. This represents a huge environmental waste. Every one of those prints takes paper, ink, electricity, and shipping, irrespective of the quality of focus, colors, and composition, the company says. On the other extreme, there are photographers who never choose prints, worried about the risk of lacking the confidence to bet that something magical will have been captured. This is an entirely different type of waste, artistic instead of environmental, but equally avoidable. So the new system works like this. Photographers order film and scans through Analog Wonderland. After the film has been processed, customers are emailed a link to view those scans in their account. From there, the photos can be reviewed and the ones that a photographer actually wants to be printed can be selected. When the negatives are mailed, they include only the photos that the photographer specifically denoted as the ones that they wanted. Analog Wonderland says that this process is more eco-friendly, results in higher quality prints since its editing team has the opportunity to fine-tune color, contrast, and crop the image before sending it to the printer. And the system is no less convenient than other established methods, and there is no requirement to download, change, or re-upload images. I just think this is really, really kind of cool. They're UK-based. I did put a link at the end of this article for Analog Wonderland. So they're UK-based right now. So those of you that are in the UK and are interested in this, you should really check them out for your film processing and printing. And I'm hoping that we'll see services like this pop up in the States before too long, because this just makes so much sense. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, fine-tuning the analog photography process, this is a great tweak. Speaking of printing, our online printing workshop was the overwhelming favorite for a March edition. So I was thinking that I could probably squeeze another online workshop this coming March. And so I went to our inner circle and I said, okay, guys, here's like five topics that I think, you know, might be kind of interesting. Which one do you prefer of these five topics? And it was overwhelming, the online inkjet printing workshop. The one that we just did was the overwhelming favorite. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to pull this together for March. Stay tuned, and hopefully I can make an announcement on this next week. I want to make sure that you tune in next week if you're interested in this workshop. The first one sold out pretty fast, and I imagine this one may as well. But I'm going to try to get another online printing workshop in for March. And thanks to our Inner Circle members, as always, for just, you know, steering me in the right direction. Meet Luminar 100, a new 35 millimeter color film stock made from Kodak Aerial Color 4 Aerial Film. And you can read the entire article on dpreview.com. This is an example of what I was talking about in the first segment. Let me read you a little bit about it. As the film revival continues strong, another new color film stock has been released, this time by Montreal-based Pofo Camera Company. And unlike other re-spooled rolls of film, this one comes right out and says that its new Luminar 100 film stock is re-spooled Kodak Aerial Color 4 2460, historically used for aerial surveillance. Luminar 100 is a daylight balance color negative film stock that's described as having medium saturation and contrast with warm tones, enhanced red sensitivity, and a wide dynamic range. It notes that the film stock is well suited for landscape and other general photographic applications. And I looked at some of the images that accompanied the article, and I thought the color palette was beautiful with this film. Really, really attractive. Unlike many of the recent film stocks we've seen pop up, this isn't a limited release, meaning that it should be around for years to come. 36 exposure rolls of Luminar 100 are available to pre-order for $10.51 each. This isn't a crowdfunding campaign, and the first units are produced and will be shipped out without the paper box by mid-January 2023. We have, and this is DP Review, we have pre-ordered a roll and will feature the results once we shoot and develop the film after its arrival. So as I mentioned, I thought that the color palette for this film was really lovely. And at $10.51, that is really not a bad price for a roll of 36 these days. We're seeing anywhere between $8 and $12 for a roll of 36. And if this is film that really gives you a look that you fall in love with, for $10.51 each, that's not bad at all. I'm actually tempted to buy some of this myself. You know, you can process it C41, which means you can send it to anywhere, any lab, and they'll be able to handle it. Just one example of many of the new films that are coming out that are very interesting and have a really great look. Now, speaking of the digital version of FilmLook, Limited Ricoh GR3 Diary Edition debuts a new film-like photo mode. And you can read this entire article on Petapixel. Have a link in the show notes. Ricoh has announced the GR3 Diary Edition, which features a different warm gray finish, comes with specifically designed accessories, and debuts a new image mode that provides a negative film finishing appearance. The cosmetic changes to the GR3 on this Diary Edition are super attractive. I love these sort of warm gray, titanium color cameras. I'm always a sucker for them. And you get all sorts of little goodies with it, a little finger strap, a special edition hot shoe cover, a custom ring, you know, a decor ring for the front lens, all that kind of stuff. So it is in a case that's pretty cool too, a little case that's pretty cool. So the physical appearance of the Diary Edition, I think, is the best of all the GRs I've seen to date, a special edition or regular. Super attractive. Once again, testing my will, right? Do not spend money for things that I don't absolutely need. All right, so there's that. There's the whole physical allure. But let's get back to, you know, this new film mode that they have. Quote, based on the visual effects possible only with negative film, this mode produces an exquisite balance between rich colors and the uniquely discolored prints resulting from using negative film, the company says. This quote's a little funny to me because they say, based on the visual effects possible only with negative film, we're producing this digitally. All right, just don't read too closely. I get the idea. The new photo mode will be available for GR3 and GR3X series models via a firmware update that is scheduled to be released following the availability of the Diary Edition. At the time of publication, Ricoh did not provide any examples of what photos taken in this mode look like, which is too bad. I'd kind of like to see that. This special limited kit will be available in late January from Ricoh's website for $1,149.95. The company says that it plans to sell the camera as a standalone without the strap, ring cap, and hot shoe cover or case later in the spring. So it is a special edition. They're only making, I believe, 2,500 of them. You don't need this specific camera to get the photo mode because they will be doing the upgrade, the firmware upgrade to their other cameras. And they didn't provide any examples of this new negative photo mode. What is it called here? Negative film finishing appearance. I'd like to see what it looks like, but I'm just fascinated. This camera, by the way, the GR, the latest versions of the GR, has been on my desire list since it came out. I have resisted so far. I ended up going with the Fujifilm X100V for a couple reasons. One of them was the really cool viewfinder on the X100V, but they keep pecking away at me with these special editions that look really great. So anyway, I'm standing strong for the moment. Nimble Photographer newsletter is now publishing every Thursday, and readers will enjoy a variety of content spanning from short photo essays to commentary on weekly events to reviews of the latest and coolest photo gear and whatever else comes into my crazy head between Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday being the podcast and Thursday being the newsletter. It's free. It just shows up in your inbox. You can sign up for it. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com. There's a link there. And then there's a link in our show notes here. We're having a lot of fun with it. The community that's formed around it already is really vibrant. And I hope you join us. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community, and not just this podcast, but this entire community, month in and month out. not only with their donation, and it's $54 a year, boom, you're done. That $54 a year gets you discounts on all workshops, whether they're online or physical. You can come out way on the plus side if you're an active member, but it also gets you access to our community, our online community, where we have photo challenges, and we talk about a lot of stuff there. We do. And also, you get to add your 2 cents to what's going to happen next. And deciding which topic for this possible March online photo workshop is a perfect example. You know, if there's something that you are really interested in, you get to vote. You have a vote. You have standing. And I just think that's way cool. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around a bit, and hopefully you will join us in 2023. And finally, I want to give a huge shout to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. And one of the things I'll have to do is go back to that well if we do the workshop in March. I think Drew was thinking, okay, we're good now till the end of the year when the other one that's already scheduled happens. And I'm going, hey, Drew, what are you doing in March? You want to join us? And he'll probably say yes, because that's just the kind of folks they are. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They are your one-stop shopping for everything inkjet printing, except the printers themselves, but they can help you decide which printer you should buy. Paper, envelopes, all the accessories that go with this stuff, lots of knowledge, lots of reviews, lots of projects. It's really good stuff. And also, if you want to become part, if you get really excited about this and you want to become part of an inkjet printing community, they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this podcast. Right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some cool stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join me next Tuesday. Until then, be safe, be creative, keep taking pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.